became Jadbarat and decided he had also had a memory of past lives, and so he decided not to talk to anybody, to just live a life of a total. Everyone thought he was completely mad because he couldn't talk. He was rejected by society, and you know the story. They tried to kill him. After Jadbarat?
Oh, what was the world called?
Oh, Ilavatrigarsha was before her. Yeah, before Bharata. Ilavati Varsha? Ilavati was one of the saints that was named after, I think, a king. I don't know, maybe somebody else knows why it was called Ilavati Varsha? Hmm? There was a Rajarishi with that name. Yeah. But that goes back millions and millions. And Bharata Maharaja is known for appointing his successor, not from his own family. Apparently that annoyed his parents very much. But they were the biological heirs to the throne, primogeniture, whatever it's called, and he didn't appoint them. So he is said to be the person who established that qualification, guna and karma, with a measure of whether a person be a Brahmin or Kshatriya or Vaishya. And that's a theory. It's true. Supposedly that was what, that was Bharata Maharaja's contribution to the future. We still say so. I don't know if that's true or not. Yes. Hmm. Well, maybe it's only Paramahansa for the time that he's walking across the toe of the deity. The Prabhupada didn't say. But he was trying to make the point that you don't have to be a Paramahansa, although that verse indicates that the teaching is for the Paramahansas and infallible munis, the muni amalatmanams, bhakti yoga hidamatam, pasim histriya. So yeah, so her question was, so how can we hope because you're teaching the Paramahansas? So the indication was that even the insect, Prabhupada said, can get benefit. So the idea was that even though we may be kind of a low right in our position in the world. We're qualified to receive the mercy of the Lord. Or we're qualified to worship the deity. Or we're qualified to chant and associate with sadhus. And we're qualified to hear the teachings and benefit from them. So that was his kind of counter argument to that verse, to show that we don't, and answer to it, because Queen Kunti was saying, well, how can we benefit from this? So he was saying, well, it doesn't matter. No matter what class you are, you can start Krishna consciousness. And he was speaking in Mayapur, so there was a whole crew of Westerners out there. He was saying that, yeah, don't be discouraged, or don't fall back on this. Well, I'm not a Brahmin, so I'm not going to bother. That was another thing. Sometimes people use that as an excuse. Well, I'm not pure, so therefore, I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm not going to try to get better. I'm not going to try to cure myself of this spiritual infirmity that I found myself in. I'm not going to improve my chanting. I'm not going to improve my seva. I'm not a Paramahansa, so why bother? Sometimes we hear that, you know. I'll settle for third best or fifth best. I'll get initiated into some sampradaya that says you don't have to chant 16 rounds or follow regulated principles or keep the temple clean or worship the deity, etc., etc., etc. But I'm a Vaishnava, I'll be a Vaishnava. I won't throw away the tradition, but I won't have to be so strict. Because I'm not a Paramahansa. Sometimes people say that. I didn't say that Prabhupada's unique contribution was that we didn't have to change. I said that his unique contribution was that we didn't have to renounce everything and that we could use everything to serve to Krishna. So it's somewhat similar, but a little bit different. He wanted us to shave and to wear tilaks and to wear devotee clothes. At one point, someone wrote him a letter and said that when we go out to distribute books, if we dress like devotees, we'll turn people off and they won't take books. And Prabhupada wrote, no, he said, you've got to shave your head, you've got to wear devotees and tilaks. And someone again wrote, I think it was a manager, and said, well, you know, we want to distribute books, but, you know, if we go out in dhotis, it turns people off. So then he wrote back and said, well, okay, you can wear a suit and tie, but you have to be very neat and very clean, and you have to have a suit and tie, and you have to shave your head and wear a tilak. And shaved heads and tilaks probably scare people off more than dhotis. But he did insist on that. And that was as a result of, you know, getting a few letters and thinking about it for a long time. What's the best way to distribute books? Anyway, that's what he said back then. That was probably about 1968 or so. So obviously Prabhupada wanted it. He mentioned that was very important. So there's this kind of like two levels. There's an inner circle of people that say they're initiated or looking toward initiation. And they're like, you know, really into reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and, you know, getting into the leelas of Krishna and Chaitanya and, you know, following everything very strictly. And then you have a more removed circle of people that aren't on an initiation path, but they're sympathetic and they're helpful and they donate and they of their time and their money and other things. So they're very helpful because Krishna consciousness movement needs those people to expand. They're very unique people. It's one in millions maybe that even comes to that level of Krishna consciousness. So part of what was one of Prabhupada's main contributions was he didn't alienate such people. He said, well, whatever level you can contribute to Krishna consciousness to help the movement in, that's good. I think, I've heard this, I don't know if it's true, but someone told me that Prabhupada once said that even if they have a favorable attitude towards Krishna consciousness, that they'll advance. I don't know if that's true, but the idea is there that Prabhupada did encourage people to do whatever they could. And of course, at the same time, he was encouraging even those people, if they wanted to go deeply, more deeply into Krishna consciousness, they could. To get initiated, they could shave up, they could be on the inner circle of Krishna consciousness. So the indication was that the inner circle would grow the outer circle. You've got to have the inner circle. That's essential. Without that, you can't go anywhere. And that would grow the outer circle. And both things would expand. So in his lectures, generally Prabhupada was very strict about the material world. It's rotten. It's a horrible place. It's bad association. We need to associate strongly with devotees and make that our kind of name. We should be focused on the importance of dealing with devotees. And it's not to say that the people aren't devotees. The people out there, they're not, inwardly, they're not part and parcel of Krishna. Of course they are. But to associate intimately with them, he indicated, would not be appropriate. Not to reveal one's inner mind, you know, but to at the same time encourage everyone to chant Hare Krishna. I mean, it's a kind of a deep topic, but those are some thoughts on it. You want to add something? Go. Yeah. Because that's one of the songs on his album, yeah. Well, also Govinda. I think it was Prabhupada's vision that both circles would work together as a unit, and that there would be mutual respect. And that obviously was there in Prabhupada's thinking, and it should be there in our thinking, of course, that we're all working together. And Prabhupada had that big vision of the circles, and not only the second circle, but even a third and fourth and fifth circles of people. we read that the Shudras class are the majority of people. You know, obviously they're on the Paramahansa level, but they're supporting everything. And Prabhupada's vision of Varnashram, which might take many years, might take a few centuries or whatever to actually manifest, the Daiva Varnashram system would be a system in which there would be several circles. At least there would be 4 or 8 circles, you know, the ashrams and the varnas, and in which there would be close cooperation. Everyone would work together, so you'd have this unity and diversity and unity. That was definitely the vision. I'm sure it's the vision that we should all have. Yeah. Surrender or die. A lot of people think that we're fanatics like that. I mean, you know, in a sense we are, but at the same time, not everyone is going to surrender. Not everyone is going to be able to follow 4 regulated principles and chant 16 rounds every day. So we have to encourage them. And they shouldn't feel like second-class citizens because they don't want to or can't surrender at the time, or even maybe during their whole lifetime. But somehow, if they can do some service, that should be encouraged. And I think Prabhupada said that where there's a little spark fanned, right? So that's there. You know. Doesn't mean surrender or die, but somehow serve, do some devotional service. And, of course, if people are inclined to go the distance, then you know, we're here to help. Makes people, yeah, it's very easy to go into that mentality to think that everyone, if they're doing a little thing, the next step is they've got to surrender instead of, you know, somehow take initiation or move into a community of devotees. It's very easy to think like that. And, oh, he's initiated. Oh, that's great. He's initiated. But, you know, maybe got initiated for other reasons. I mean, we're hoping he got initiated for good reasons. But sometimes people do it because of peer pressure. They want to change their name. They want to be, you know, quote, authentic, end quote, Vaishnava. I mean, generally, the people that go on and do take initiation are pretty serious. But there are instances of those who do it for, they want to go to America or something like that. You know, I mean, people do it. I mean, it happens, you know. They want to get a permanent residence in America. There's a lot of... I don't mean to offend anybody, but there's a lot of those people living in some of the temples. But they're a minority. They're a small minority. But yeah, the thought is definitely there. That because someone makes a little step, they give something or they do something for the temple that I've just got to get them initiated. It's kind of like these people that, you know, want to make you into a Christian. They think, especially if you're a Hare Krishna, they're going to get more points. Right, so they really latch on to you sometimes, right? Because they know you're really into some other kind of religion, and if they get a Hare Krishna to become a Christian, boy, that's big time, you know. So we tend to think the same way. We tend to think, you know, yeah, when they get really into it. So it's kind of like a dice roll, you might say. On one hand, we want to encourage everyone to get into pure devotional service and get away from impure devotional service, but at the same time, you know, we really have to encourage everyone who is engaged in impure, it's probably not even a good word to use, you know, sort of mixed devotional service, or just any kind, just devotional service is devotional service. Let's just call it that. You know, someone may be all breaking all the regulated principles, but, you know, if they give you $1 million, you're not going to say, no, I'm going to touch it because you're contaminated. Right? We're not going to say that. And for the first 10 years, probably all the money that came into ISKCON to build all the beautiful temples and do all the wonderful things came from people who were eating meat. Probably did, at least in the West. Or to speak of the other temples they weren't following. at least some of them. So yeah, it's not difficult. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, kind of, I guess we have to get purified, thinking too much that way, you know, putting demands on, making everyone feel put off that, well, I'm not one of them, so I can't, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to get them because they don't like me. They think I have to be surrendered. And that we're on the risk of making people feel estranged and therefore sort of withholding their devotional service. Any other comments? It's 15 minutes later than I was supposed to be allowed to go, so I'm going to end here. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
forgotten the question of self-realization in the midst of life. Thank you. are many so-called mendicants. They, I mean to say, loiter in the street naked, and sometimes they are arrested by the police. Like that. Imitation is not required. Imitation is not required. But there is a state like that, just like a madman. Sometimes the madman, he also, I mean to say, wanders the street naked. So, he is also compact in some thought, but he is a madman. But similarly, a person who is completely compact in Krishna thought, Krishna consciousness, he is also a madman, according to the definition of the world. And one conversation, Prabhupada said to us in a kind of semi-joking way, that all devotees are a bit mad. Of course, this was from the perception of the reserve. And people sometimes, they do think, oh, the chanting on. So, a madman and an atma-rati person, self-satisfied man, outwardly you will be